Hey, good morning, First Service. It's great to be with you. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. We're going to handle the whole chapter together again this morning. And so we don't want to waste any time. We want to pray and get right into it. If you did not bring a Bible with you, you can follow on the screen behind me or use our CC Westside app and follow along in that way. It's so good for you to see God's Word, hear God's Word. At the same time, it has a powerful effect upon your life. And my life too. So Revelation chapter 18, if you don't know where that is, open to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and then turn all the way to the end from there. You'll find it easily. Last book. Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, for this mid-August day, Lord, where we can gather together in your house to worship you, to remind ourselves how awesome our God is. Lord, a song that is so old but is so true. We are so grateful, Lord, to be in this place and just have our eyes, Lord, focused in on you, your glory, your goodness, your presence, your majesty, Lord, your splendor. We're thankful, Lord, that your plans and purposes can't be thwarted. No matter how abundant the evil is in this world, no matter how dominant it seems to be. Jesus, we are thankful for this book of Revelation that makes it as clear as day to us that you win in the end and your kingdom is coming. And so, Lord, excite our hearts, stir our hearts. So many of these things, Lord, that are in this portion of Scripture are futuristic, and they don't necessarily pertain to us. But, God, we are grateful for the nuggets that do, that are found here. And we pray that you'd amplify them this morning, Lord. Open them to us and open our understanding to them, Lord. There's never a lack, Lord, a shortage from your word. It's us that's the problem so many times. So I pray, Lord, that any walls that we've built and any hardness of heart that is represented in this room, that your spirit would now soften each of us, Lord, and make us pliable in your hands. You are the potter. We are the clay, Lord. We're on the wheel, and we want you to spin us and mold us and shape us and fashion us, Lord, as you see fit. So let this message be prophetic, Lord. Let it be right from your throne room, and I pray that even the tone that I have in my voice, Lord, would be under your control. Certainly, Lord, none of us, myself, probably the most, God, none of us want to have anything to do with anything that's not from you or of you. I don't want to be that ambassador, Lord. I want to be an ambassador that comes straight from your throne, speaking your heart to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in this parenthetical portion, this like commercial break, if you would, if we were watching a show. As far as the chronology is in Revelation, we have already seen the last bold judgment of God poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world, but the Holy Spirit here in chapter 17 and 18 is taking time to amplify and give greater detail as to what that looks like concerning the destruction, the fall of the Babylonian system that will be in play in the last days. Now, chapter 17 last week was the ecclesiastical fall of that system. Okay, that one world religious system that will be in play in the last days. We already handled that last Sunday. This week is the political, commercial fall of Babylon in the last days. Now listen, I'll tell you this, because I didn't tell you last week. I believe, based on Zechariah chapter 5, that this is a literal city that will be rebuilt in Iraq. I believe that this will be like ancient Babylon restored. But I do not believe that its fall there is limited to what the destruction that's being spoken of here in this chapter. This is speaking about a global movement that will be in place in the last days. This is what we are trending toward, this move of globalism. It's clear as day, and it will be at its apex in the last of days before Jesus comes. So here we are, chapter 18. We're going to see this morning this commercial economic fall of Babylon. We know that last week the destruction of religious Babylon came from the hands of men. The difference in this chapter is that the destruction comes from God and his glory and his coming. I guess a couple of other differences I might as well give to you at the start this morning. And it shows you the priorities here of the people in the last days, because when the religious system crumbles, they rejoice. When the political economic system crumbles, they are weeping. So it shows you the priority. We see that already trending today. People are way less concerned about God and quote-unquote religion than they are their pocketbooks and their bank accounts and their Bitcoin and so on and so forth. Okay, we already see that movement trending today, but it will be at its full in the last of days. And the other thing I suppose I'll highlight for you, and then we'll jump into it, is that in chapter 17, that happens in the first 3.5 years. This year, chapter 18, the fall of political Babylon, it happens at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. So just a couple of distinctions to make for you here. The most of this will not relate to you if you love Jesus. How many of you love Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Just raise your hand. So then y'all that just raised your hand, as long as you're not lying, which first service doesn't lie. That's for second service. But as long as y'all aren't lying, I know you're not lying, then this really won't relate to you. But what's incredible here is there are two specific words from God to us. So like this morning, if you're here and maybe it's been a while, you might get a little spooked. Because God speaks in the present imperative twice to his people in today's age in this chapter. So how relative it is. Vinny, one of our elders, he often prays, Lord, give the people a word in season. That's like his coined phrase when he prays for y'all before you come here. He says, Lord, give the people a word in season. There's two words in season. And it's not because I'm going to be prophetic in my preaching aside from God's word. I'm just going to deliver God's word right from his throne to you. And there's two things he says in the present imperative to his people. Y'all just raise your hands. I love Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. Then you're his. He's got two words for you this morning. There's two words in this chapter that are not for the people that are in the tribulation in these days. I mean, if they receive God and they don't take the mark of the beast and they're alive still, then yes. But it's a present imperative, which means it's speaking to us right now, today, a word for each of us. So that's pretty amazing to me how God does that for us to encourage us as we make our way through this apocalyptic book. After these things, John says, verse 1, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And notice here, and the earth was lightened with his glory. So what's going to be shown to us this morning, it's all going to be dragged into the light so that we can see it. He wants to take his people by his spirit and by his word, and he wants to bring us all into the light of his plans and purposes and the revelation of his word so that we can see it. He wants us to see it. He wants our eyes open. He wants our eyes open. He wants us to know what's going on. He don't want us meandering aimlessly. He wants us to know what's going on. So it says here that the earth was lit up with the angel's glory. The Lord always, we walk in the light as he's in the light. And he cried mightily, it says in verse 2, with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. It is fallen, and it has become the habitation of devils. Babylon is the city of man. It's become, look at what it says. Your Bible says it's not me. It's better than any movie you could watch. It comes out of Hollywood. Look what it says here. It says, this city of man, that's what Babylon is. It's in the way of the city of God. It's got to go. The city of man is a city that is the habitation, the dwelling place of, literally in the Greek, demons. It's a dwelling place of demons. It says it is the hold of every foul spirit. The word foul is speaking of unclean. And what clean things do, how detestable they are. It is the hold of foul spirits. Now notice what it says here at the end of verse 2, and it's the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And I don't got any insight on that for you. It just speaks for itself, doesn't it? We were at a wedding. Dylan got married Friday night. He's on his honeymoon, so I suppose it's okay for him to miss church. But only for a few days. But we were at his wedding reception Friday night, and I'm talking to people at my table and the table next to me, and all of a sudden my wife screams. And the other ladies that she's speaking to, they all start like screaming at the top of their lungs. And I thought like a gunman got in the room or something. And I said, what is going on? And they got napkins they're putting over their head. There's a bat got in the room and it's dipping down and flying all throughout the reception hall. That's an unclean bird, isn't it? That kind of spooks you. A bat. You know, this time of year, going into the fall, you know, you go for a walk at night, and in our neighborhood, at least, there's bat. Somebody's got a bat house on the other side of us, and there's bats all on that street, you know, flying down, and and they're spooky. They're eerie. You don't want to be where a bat is, right? I mean, it's good that they eat the mosquitoes. But apart from that, like, you don't want them diving into your hair and building a nest, right? You don't want anything going on. Like, my hair would be perfect for that. Like, they would just spin that. But this is speaking to us here of unclean and hateful birds. There's just things like this that I really don't want to know more about in Revelation. My mom hates birds. Where are you? There you are. There's a movie, Birds, from, what was it, the 70s? You weren't even alive back then. But the cage of unclean and hateful birds, you picture here what the Holy Spirit's trying to paint for you here. And all the nations, the word for there in verse 3 is a reason word. All the nations, this is the reason for, all of the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath. Listen, this new world order, that's what it's speaking about. It's where it's headed. It's speaking of globalism. They've drank in of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Spiritual immorality, that's what it's speaking to us about. They got drunk on that. They got tipsy on that. They let the swirl of the glass entice them. We received a warning from God last week. We cannot drink of the world system. We cannot afford to have our judgment impaired, right? We need to see things in the light and the truth. We need to let God's word govern us and lead us and direct us. But these people that are Christ rejectors, they have gotten drunk on the wine of the wrath of her fornication and the kings of the earth. This is the direction that it's led them in. The kings of the earth, the rulers, the presidents, the prime ministers, they've committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth, they are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies, of her luxuries. They've been tricked. They've been deceived. They bought into a system that is a facade. That's what it's revealing to us here, okay? Because doomsday is coming to this city, to this system, to its leaders, to its rulers. They bought into it. They thought that they were going to be rich. Let me give you something on this. This might be a word for somebody here. Proverbs 23, speaking of these types of riches, Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5 say this, "Labor not to be rich, cease from your own wisdom. Will you set your eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven." The riches of this world, man, if you're rich and you got Jesus, you won. But if you're only after the riches of this world without Jesus, you lose. The riches of this world, singularly, apart from Jesus, chasing after what the world offers and what this Babylonian system will ultimately offer, it's a big trap of deception, because at the end of it all, when God is having his way in this world, it's going to be destroyed, all of these things. And they have like wings that fly away. That's what the scriptures say. But they were duped, it tells us here. They profited of the world system's delicacies, of the abundance that this life has to offer, and in the end, those things were wiped out and destroyed, and their riches were no more. Now, all of a sudden, in verse 4, here is the first of two words from God to us. This is to us. This is where you need to tune in right now and pay attention. Because in the midst of all of this declaration of what's futuristic, verse 4 says this, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying this, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people." It's written in such a way where it is a present imperative. It's not just for people that might know God or want to know God at the end if they're able to escape the wrath of the Antichrist. It's written in such a way that it's to every generation that is ever God's people. So it's, you must be continually coming out of her, my people, says God. Okay, that's a word from the Lord for our church this morning. You came here for your portion. This is one of two for your portions. All of us got to do inventory right now. All of us got to stop and stand and say, God, is there an area of my life that I'm getting right now in the present? I'm being dragged back into, Lord, a system that you have come and shed your blood to deliver me out of. Am I getting dragged into, Lord? Am I getting dragged into? Am I getting brought back into? It's so easy for that to happen, to get pulled back into on the daily, to a system that Jesus Christ shed his blood to deliver us from. There's this call this morning of separation. It's all through the Word of God, all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, from Genesis all the way to this last book, where God is reaching out to his people and he's saying, you need to come out of her. You need to be conscious of the fact that it is so easy for you to slip into her system, to fall into her system. You are not to look like the world. You are not to fit in with the world. If the world can't tell that you're a Jesus follower without even hearing you speak, something's wrong. Your life should be different. Your life should look different. You should talk different. You should respond different. You should act different. You are not of this world. That's what the Bible declares, you know. Our direction, listen to me, please. Our direction must be a direction of continually coming out of Babylon's system. And there's a friction here. My wife, my kids, we talk about this all the time. There's a friction. There's a tension. I have not mastered it. I don't pretend to. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not a holier than thou. I'm not pointing my finger at you and saying, y'all need to do this better. I'm saying we got to find the balance here. Jesus, you put us in this world, but yet you told us not to be of this world. I mean, what is the balance in all of this? Because, Lord, it's all through your word that we're to be coming out of it, that we're to resist it, that we're to fight against that pull. That our direction is to constantly be going the other way from it, not to get sucked into it. Lord, help us here on the daily to have wisdom from above, to know how to ride that line. It's a fine line, isn't it? How much we let our kids do, how much we let ourselves do. You know, you don't want to be this legalistic, I guess I wanted to say the word prude, where you're just seeking to abstain from everything to a place where you have no contact with the world to reach the world. You don't want to be that way, but it's like you also don't want bad company to corrupt good habits, which Paul said happens in Romans. And it's just this constant plea to God, God, please show me how to do this here. Contact without contamination. Contact without contamination. I mean, you told me that I'm here to be light. You told me that I'm here to be salt. That's what he told you too. He said in the beginning, I am the light of the world. And then before he went back to glory, he said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, now you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You're to be a city on a hill. You're not to be hid. You're to light your fire and not to be put out. You're not to stifle that fire. You're to let that fire fan into flames so the world around you can come and watch you burn and see your love for Jesus. How does it happen, Lord, if we don't have any contact with the world? There's a tension here, but listen, what God's word says, God's word says, I don't plagiarize. I don't mess around. I don't blur it. I don't want it to be adulterated. It says, come out of her, my people. So this morning's exhortation is not go into the world. That's not what God has me speaking this morning. Y'all don't need to hear that this morning. You know that that's what it means when God has you in a certain place of scripture? That's why every person that follows Jesus should be in the word of God daily. He gives you your daily bread. So you don't need to sit there and anguish yourself and say, well, there's a balance in this. The balance ain't for today. So I'm going to stop torturing myself up here and trying to balance this because I'm getting tortured up here. I'm not doing it. I'm going to give you God's word as what it says today. I don't need to balance it. The Holy Spirit will balance it. Y'all need to come out of the world. You need to come out of the world system. That's what he's saying. Come out of her, my people. This is not a word to people who are not followers of Jesus. It's to us. It's to every age group. It's to every demographic. It's to every skin shade color. Listen, it's to everyone in this room this morning. We all need to say, Lord, what areas are we in our lives being pulled back into this world system that is trending toward a new world order that is a globalistic, type of mentality that you are opposed to, that you're against? 2 Corinthians, powerful portion, I'm going to give it to you. Chapter 6, verse 14 says this to Christians. And be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Listen, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, if you didn't know this morning, Christian, you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? Wherefore is the wherefore, therefore? Because of what he just said. You are the temple of God. God doesn't stay here and wait for you to come back on Wednesday and then say, oh, it's not raining. They're outside. I'll go join them outside. Oh, it is raining. They're inside. I'll go join them inside. God goes where you are all week long. He's with you and he's in you. That's where his residence is. The Holy Spirit is within you. You're his place of if you would, like refuge where he finds his presence in you. And he's saying to you as a believer in Christ, if that's who you are, if you're not, then you don't have to listen. But if you are, he's saying because of that, because of your body being the place where God's Spirit abides and dwells, he says you're to come out from among them. There's that same exhortation, come out from her, my people. You're to come out from among them. Who's them? Unbelievers. And be separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's the reward. You say, well, what's in it for me? God says, I'm going to receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. There's going to be a fatherhood that you experience more so when you abide in this. This is not a salvation matter, obviously, if you're truly Christ's. But there's going to be this experience that you're drawn into as a son and daughter of the living God of intimacy in a greater measure when you take him at his word. You're going to experience that here. Separation unto. God, give me your mind, give me your heart, give me your spirit. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's telling us. It's impossible for God to fully bless us as his children when we are in compromise or complicity with evil. Lord, help us. Complicity and conformity. So I got written down in my Bible. And then I think of Romans 12, verses 1, 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this begging of Paul on behalf of Jesus to us, this begging that you would not be conformed, but that you would be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that there would be a separation, that you would endure hardship as a good soldier because of separation, because of loneliness, because of separation, because you're going a different way. Because my direction is different than my neighbor's direction. Because my direction is different than the church across the street that doesn't teach the word of God's direction. Not literally, I'm speaking figuratively right now, but you understand what I'm saying. My direction might even be different than the person that's sitting next to me in the chair's direction this morning because I'm taking God's word as sovereign truth. I cannot look to the left and to the right and to see who's nodding their head right now in agreement with this. It has always been the master's minority that follows him on the straight and narrow. But if you want to close the gap between you and Jesus, unlike Peter, the night of the betrayal of Jesus, then you got to take God starting now at his very word in the simplest forms and fashions. Come out from the Babylonian system. That's God's word to us. These are the last days. You're here this morning, you're looking for confirmations. You're here this morning and you're asking God to speak to your heart. Then don't complicate it. He's speaking to you. These days are unprecedented days. These days are the darkest of days. These days seem to be the last of days. And we got to stop becoming numb and just dull to what's going on. Our senses, we got to let the Holy Spirit wake us up and give us a biblical worldview as to what's going on. See through the lenses of Scripture. Put on the lenses of Scriptures and then observe the world. Then observe the systems of the world and what's going on and say, Jesus, give me discernment here. I don't want to belabor it any longer, but it's important that we understand this. It's an imperative. It's not a suggestion this morning. You don't get to be here, and I don't get to be here and say, Lord, I don't know if I'm, this suggestion is probably for somebody else. No one said it's a suggestion. It's an imperative. You need to do it. You need to do it now, and you need to continually do it, believer. That's the way it's written in the Greek. So he says to his bride, come out from her, my people. And he gives reason to it in verse 4. I always appreciate that because I'm a reason guy. I was an annoying kid. My mom and dad say, do something. I say, why? And they'd say something else. I'd say it again. Then my mother would say, David, do not try to keep getting the last word. I'd say, okay, mom. Because then I kind of had her, right? I mean, I'm obeying you. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm getting the last word in. So to me here, when I come to scriptures where Jesus says something that's hard, do you not think that this is hard? I don't know. I'm going faster. Do you think this is hard? I think this is tremendously hard. To always be coming out of the system of the wide and broad path that everybody else is on is incredibly lonely. It's incredibly, I don't know, there's not a lot of fellowship. Not a lot of fellowship in that suffering with Christ. Nobody really wants to hear about that. So I come to places like this and I say, Lord, can you give me some inspiration here, some reason why, and the Holy Spirit gave it to me. Two things, verse 4. Number one, I'm telling you to come out of her because I don't want you to be partakers of her sins. I don't want her sins to become your sins. You're weaker than you think you are. I don't need a lot of preaching on that point. When people say things like that to me, when I'm sitting in the seats and they're preaching and I take a prayer, I don't ever sit there and go, how dare he? And I don't ever sit there and say, I hope he amplifies that point. I just think, keep going, keep going. I am totally aware of that depravity within me. I hope you are. It's healthy. It's healthy to see the Lord in the glory of his majesty like Isaiah did and then walk away from it and say, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm totally undone in the glory of his presence. So here it is. I'm telling you, Dave, I'll make it personal because I don't want you to think I'm pointing my finger at you. Come out of her, Dave. Why, God? Well, I'll tell you why. I don't want her sins to become your sins, Dave. And secondly, the Lord says graciously in verse 4 at the end there, I don't want you to receive of her plagues. I don't want her punishment to become your punishment. I don't want you to partake in what she's doing. It's very easy to. Those moves happen very subtly. If you truly know Jesus, you don't just wake up tomorrow on Monday and say, you know what? I think I'm done following the Lord. I'm going to go a completely different direction. It's very subtle. The enemy, a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. It's a little bit of compromise. It's a little bit of letting down your guard. It's a little bit of stripping the armor of God off from you that Ephesians 6 speaks about. It's a little bit of watching this. It's a little bit of listening to that. It's a little bit of going there. It's a little bit of giving your speech to it. It's a little bit of letting go of your members, relaxing just a little bit. Next thing you know, well, what's a sip of the wine of Babylon? I'm not getting drunk. We love to do that. We love to do that. Now, again, I'm not speaking of a literal glass of wine. I'm speaking of sipping of a system. Maybe that news anchor is right, or maybe that tweet was right, and maybe I'm being just a little too legalistic here, and maybe I'm letting fear grip my soul, and there's a scripture about fear, so I got to rebuke fear in the name of Jesus and go full-fledged into what God's calling me to, and now all of a sudden we're dismissing and we're excusing, and the next thing you know, we look just like the world. And the church system in America, if you didn't know, has bought into this, because the church system as a whole, this is the mentality of the church system in 2021, almost 2022. Let's be like the world to reach the world. Let's do church not in church. Let's do everything we can to not have a building. Back in the day when I was coming up, it was like, God, please bless us with a building. Now it is not cool to be in a building. Let's get out of a building, find an old theater, let's get a nightclub, let's renovate it kind of, but still have the bar in there so it's sexy and kind of like, what is this here? I don't really know what it is. And then everybody who comes in feels comfortable, and let's get a guy up here who's cool and suave and doesn't use a microphone on his ear, but he holds it like an entertainer, and he speaks into that thing, and the Bible's never even in his hand once, and let's get him up there, and people don't even realize the Bible study's happening. Let's give him some crazy message where it brings you high and you're laughing, it brings you low and you're crying, and you send him out the door with a good moral story. And is it bad? No, it's not necessarily bad, but is it whole? It's absolutely not whole. And as a result, because it goes on in the church, is the people are now sipping on the wine of Babylon because they're not being properly fed God's word. The pastor, the senior pastor, has essentially two jobs. And maybe this will help me to reinforce it right now in front of you and help you to know what my role is here for you so that you don't think I should be something that I'm not. The Bible says I have two jobs to do for you as your pastor. It's to feed you and it's to pray for you. It's not to kiss you. It's not to come have dinner with you. It's not to do this or that. I'm not a politician. I'm your pastor. I'm here to preach and teach God's word as clear as I possibly can, and then I'm to pray for you and plead for you on my knees behind the scenes. That's my job. I'm not even here to marry you or bury you. I mean, I'm here if I can do it, and I will do it, but I have assistants that do it. My job as the teaching pastor that is distinguished from any other role in the church is that. And if the pastor who's also having my job doesn't do that, well, guess what happens? The sheep aren't being properly trained. And if the sheep aren't being properly trained, they're going out in that world, not infiltrating it the way that God has designed them to be the light and the salt. They don't have the strength for it. And now they're sipping on the wine because they don't know any different. They don't know any better. How do you know a counterfeit? You study the real deal. You study the truth. You don't study all the counterfeits. You'd never be able to keep up with it. If I just know what the truth is, this is a true dollar bill or a $100 bill or whatever it is, and I know anything else, it's a counterfeit of it. If I know Jesus in the truth, I don't need to study Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists and Muslims. I know the truth, and the spirit of truth is within me. And the church needs to know the truth. The church needs to tuck the truth in their hearts so that it can guard them from the day of evil. So that's my job. And then we are to receive words like this: come out of her. That's the truth. That's what God says. It's his church. He has a right to say whatever he wants to say. Every day it's going to pull on us. Tomorrow this message won't be enough. Babylon's system is too strong. There's supernatural spirits behind it. Wake up. There's supernatural spirits. You can see it behind the news anchors' facial expressions. They're angry. There's like this, there's an obsession with hate towards truth. An obsession with hate towards righteousness. Anything that aligns with God's word. Sanctity of life. What God says marriage is. These things are biblical. There's a hatred toward it. They can't even hide it anymore. Every day it's going to pull on us. It's going to hit us high and it's going to hit us low. And if it doesn't get us with the politics, or if it doesn't get us with the school system, or if it doesn't get us here, it's going to get us there. There's going to be somewhere all day, every day. And the exhortation that needs to sound in your ears all week is keep coming out of her. Her sins are about to become your sins, and then what's going to happen is her judgments are about to become your judgments. It's heavy. For her sins, verse 5, have reached unto heaven. That's a picture for you. They've reached, whose sins? Babylon's sins. Who was trying to reach heaven? Babel, Genesis 11. Do you see that? Isn't that a cool word picture for you? They're piling up, God says. The sins of Babylon are piling up just like the bricks were being piled up in the Tower of Babel. America's sins are piling up. The world's sins are piling up unto heaven. And God has remembered her iniquities. We get the opposite. He remembers not our sins. He separates them from the east as far as the east meets the west. Reward her, verse 6, even as she's rewarded you. This is how it's going to go. Double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she has filled in her double. She's going to get what she deserves. She's going to reap what she sows. That's a law of God's word. It's for all of us today, but it's specifically true for Babylon and its destruction. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, luxuriously, luxuriously, so much, it says in the middle of verse 7, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she says in her heart, watch this, this is crazy. I have to be selective here. I can only give you one more exhortation because of time, but this is nuts. Look what it says in verse 7. She says, who says? The world system. You know what she says about herself in the midst of her judgment? She goes like this. She says, in verse 7, she says, I, in her heart, am a queen. You know what God says about her? You're the great spiritual whore. Self-glorification leads to self-deception. In her heart, she goes, I'm a queen. Look at me, I'm beautiful. My pearls, my jewelry, my purple garments, I showed you this last week. Look at me, I'm a queen. She says this in her heart in the midst of her judgment. And God says, no, you're not. You're a great spiritual whore. And I am no widow. And I shall see no sorrow. I know you don't have time for me to break it all down. But the end of verse 7 in the Greek is OMI. It's a double negative. It's absolutely blatant in God's face. There will never, ever be any sorrow. Therefore, verse 8, shall her plagues come, God says, in one day. What man has taken 6,000, 8,000, whatever it's been, years to build, one day it's about to be wiped out. Death, mourning, famine. It shall be utterly burned with fire. And I love this part of verse 8. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And all God's people said, amen. Let's blitz this. Watch this. Here's the first of three laments beginning in verse 9. Now, three laments are given to us. And so the first here is in verse 9. So the kings of the earth, the rulers, the presidents, that's the first lament. Okay? These are the power brokers of the world. These are the heads of corporations. These are the bigwigs. These are the people that are running the show right now. Remember, no longer are national borders running the show and defining lines. It's these multi-international, global, corporation heads, it's money that's running the scene, and it's evil spirits working with them. But here's their situation in the last days. Because right now, they control who says what on their platforms, and they control so much of what we perceive. God says this is how it's going to end for them. This is how it's going to end for those who don't repent and get right. The kings of the earth, man, these are the biggest wigs that there are. The kings of the earth who've committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, they're going to bewail her and they're going to lament for her when they shall see, future tense, the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. Now watch this, not just a day, for 1 hour she crumbled. Just one quick, short little hour. You fool, God says in Luke chapter 12, you got all these storehouses filled up and all these riches and all these wealth, and you don't even know today is the day that your soul is going to be required of you. Daniel chapter 5, the writing on the wall, judgment is coming. And then before you know it, the party's not even over and judgment comes. How audacious our nation is. Our world is shaking our fists at God, taunting him, challenging him, because in 1 hour, it's going to drop. The merchandise of gold, he goes on to say, the merchants, verse 11, of the earth, this is the second lament, if you're trying to keep track here, these are the ones who are doing the dealing here, the merchants. They're going to weep, and they're going to mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, verse 12. We think that stuff is so, have so much worth, but the Bible says this of our nearest and dearest. It tells us this of the finest things in this life of the world here. Watch it. Look what it says. Don't take my word. Look at it for yourself. Gold, silver, precious stones, diamonds, pearls, fine linen and purple, that's fashion. Versace, Gucci, Armani, like the finest of names, the nicest suits, the best, whatever you can come up with. Watch it. Fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, fine wood. You should go study what these things are. It's insane. Manners of vessels of ivory, manners of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass and of iron, marble, Italian marble that we import to our homes and we put it on our floors and we say to people, this is Italian porter. You know, these are the nicest and finest things. God says this. The wealth of this world, these temporary pleasures, he says, cinnamon, verse 13. He says, the odors and the ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves. And then it says something that spooks the heck out of me because this is the God's honest truth about the devil, the Antichrist, and the Babylonian system, what they're after. This is what they're after. Look at it right here. And the souls of men. See it. The Greek is more, it's even more explicit. It's the body and the souls of men, and we're trending that way. Let's lull everybody to sleep. I'm only going to use America, and I'm not going to talk about the other nations. This is global. I'm going to use America. Let's get everybody chasing the mighty dollar, the American dream. Everybody, let's just get them hyped up on, let's get life back to normal. I want to travel. I don't want to wear a mask. I want to have free choice about the vaccine. Let's get them so fixated over here. Meanwhile, let's sex traffic all these girls. Right in America. The bodies and the souls of men is what they're after. That's the skin in the game for them. And you know what's crazy? The half of us don't even care. I'm preaching the best I can right now. This is the best I can with what God has given me to share with you this morning. This is the word of the Lord. Everyone is going to be so fixated on the whore system politically, on chasing and getting power and money, fame. This is what we're all after right now, but this is going to be at its apex in the last days. Meanwhile, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil are going to be after the souls and bodies of men. And when will we give a hoot? When will the church rise up and say, God, I'm coming out from it. I don't want anything to do with it, God. It's dark. It's depraved. And Lord, that path is damned to hell. I got to be a waker and shaker in this generation. When are we going to say that back to the Lord? I don't know. I have to do the same check in my own life. But the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro Calvary Chapel of the West Side this morning and First Service. And it's looking, his eyes are looking for a heart, just one, just singular. Just one college student, just one high school student, just one employee at this place and stay-at-home mom at that house. God is looking for just a heart who will say, God, here I am. My heart is loyal toward you. Not perfect in that it's perfected, but perfect in that it's complete. It's yours, God. My heart is yours. Every day I'm doing checks that I'm going the direction of coming out of a system that is damned to hell. Because why? Because bodies and souls. That's why. That's what motivates me. The hits are hard. Why do I keep getting up here every week and preaching what nobody wants to hear? Because bodies and souls are at stake. Bodies and your soul's at stake. Your kid's soul is at stake. Your spouse's soul is at stake. People's souls, their eternal beings are at stake. So until the trump sounds, I got to be a preacher of righteousness, even if I'm vexed in my spirit. And I got to shout it from the rooftop. This is my rooftop. The word of the Lord. I got to give it out. I got to give it out. That's what keeps me going. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. There would be no reason. It's too contrary to today's culture. Souls, we got to care. We got to give a hoot. We got to be worried about it. We cannot sit in church anymore and just, come on, pastor, give me something that makes me feel good to carry me through my day and week. I'm not giving you nothing that feels good that carries you through your day and week. Not unless it comes from the throne, I'm giving you God's word. We got to care. We got to care about bodies and souls. If we don't care about bodies and souls, we got dead orthodoxy here. And I don't know if you know me that well, but I'll tell you straight up, I don't play games and pretending to be something that I'm not. I have no interest in like a religious game that we play on Sundays. I have no interest in doing it on Wednesday nights with you. My kids play sports 6 days a week. I'd rather go watch them. I got no interest in the phony baloney nonsense and stuff. I only have interest in truth. And when you have tasted of the truth and your eyes are open and you've been set free, you come to this predicament, and I'm calling it that on purpose, you come to this predicament often of, now where do I go, Lord? As tough as it is and as hard as it is, you hold the words of eternal life, so where do I go now after I've tasted of them? And the answer is nowhere, right here. And so it tells us the fruits of thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. All things were dainty and goodly to departed from thee, and you shall find them no more at all. I have to go here, so I'm gonna just tell you this in that phrase, the end of verse 14, it's all double negatives. It's just stronger emphasis in the Greek. It's no, not ever. Okay, that's what it's saying to you. The merchants of these things which are made rich by her, he shall stand afar off. For the fear of her tormented, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, and here's the third and final lament, verse 17, okay, here's the third. We had the merchants, that was number two. We had the kings, that was number one. Here's the third and final lament. It's every international commerce there in verse 17. Every shipmaster, all the company and the ships and sailors and as many trade by the sea, they stood afar off and they cried when they saw the smoke of the burning city, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and they cried weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships and sea by reason of her coastlines or costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. And here in verse 20 is our closing exhortation that I told you we would have at the start of the message. The first was come out. Here is the second and final one in verse 20. It's a present imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's what you must do, and you must do now and tomorrow and Tuesday and so on and so forth. It's this: rejoice. You must continually be rejoicing. Us who are God's people, we rejoice, we don't wail. We're not wailing over the world system. We're not in the world. We're not sad over it. We're not obsessed with it. We rejoice when it crumbles. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. That's what he said he would do from the get-go. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance came on a city that was anti you because you were for Jesus. And the way that it's constructed is like this. Rejoice ye, okay, that are the holy. It's separated from apostles. So you that are the holy and the apostles and the prophets. Guess what? We're in that number. We're holy because of Jesus. Rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And a mighty angel, verse 21, took up a stone, wouldn't you know, like a great millstone. Isn't this crazy? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18, 6? If you stumble one of my little children, it's better you take a millstone, tie it around your neck, and go jump in Lake Ontario. A city that stumbled God's people and creation, his image bearers. Now there's a millstone. My gosh. He took a millstone and he cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers, musicians, pipers, trumpeters shall be heard no more at all, and no more music. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone, because they stumbled the world, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all. There's a double negative. Oh, you may. No, not ever. No one's undoing this. No one's changing this. No one's thwarting this. No one's stopping this. This is the word of the Lord. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, but by the sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Don't freak out because I'm reading 19:1. I'm only going to verse 2. Saying, Alleluia, the first time in the Bible, 19 verse 1. Four times in this chapter. We'll see it next week. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For, reason word, true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, not the queen, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen? Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord. Come out, rejoice. Come out, rejoice. That's what we got for this week. Hey, what did you learn in church this week? Come out, rejoice. That's the word of the week for us corporately. Come out, rejoice. We're coming out from and we're rejoicing because we're headed to. The city of man's got to get out of the way so the city of God can descend next week in chapter 19. We've worked hard to get here. We've worked hard to get to chapter 19. And the city of God is going to descend adorned like a bride for her bridegroom. What a day it will be. Until that day, Jesus, keep us faithful. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.